Here on KATE 1450, we're talking sports all hour here on KATE. And while there's no real sports to talk about here going on right now, there are all sorts of figures from around the area from days past, which we're going to talk to as a result to try and kind of fill that void. And we're now joined by Mike Peterson, an Albert Lea basketball player from back in the 1980s, who back then had records for points and field goal percentage and all sorts of things like that. And we'll get into that, Mike, but I want to first just thank you for calling in and talking to us for a moment, and also ask you, with no sports going on, I know all people involved with sports kind of use that as a bit of a crutch, and there's a whole lot of time to fill now. How have you been filling that time?
Well, I have two college kids who are now back home, so basically I'm running to the grocery store and back most of the time.
Well, I'm sure it gives you something to do.
Now, That's right.
Before we get into just specific questions, I do want to ask you to just kind of give us a rundown of your entire background with sports in general. We know you played basketball at Albert Lea, also played tennis with the Tigers as well, but just give us a start to finish kind of what your experience has been and kind of what the resume is.
Well, sure. I feel very, very lucky to have played with the teammates that I did and play with the coaches that I had. My varsity coach, and it was actually his last year of coaching, was Ori Jurley, who was a tremendously interesting character in his own right, very colorful, very passionate, and has a lot of stories around if you want to talk on those sometime. One of our assistant coaches, Dave Gilbertson, who just passed away last year, phenomenally dedicated person to the program and always was for the rest of his life. My teammates were ones. It was a real special group of guys. We were truly, truly good friends. I think we all appreciated each other's differences. We pushed each other, and we're all very open that, for instance, I was a very slow basketball player. I was not a great jumper. I was not tremendously quick. I would not have gotten open without a couple of my teammates who were tremendous at setting screens and getting me open. And so that's just an example, I think, of how we always continue to appreciate and value each other and we are better together.
I have to ask, you played both basketball and tennis, and I had a coach in high school, as I played both sports as well, not to the level you did, but a coach I had in tennis in high school told a teammate of mine, as he had joined the team before I did from basketball, that if you give me a basketball player, I can make him a varsity tennis player out of that. What kind of skills do you think transfer from one sport to the other?
Absolutely. I think I'll give you a number of ones that come to my mind off the cuff. So, for instance, in basketball, doing fakes, whether you're on offense or even on defense, can be an important part of positioning and playing basketball. If you are playing tennis, that also can mean a lot. If you are running up to the net, faking like you're going to go one direction versus the other, those cover themselves quite well. And then the other thing, too, is that a lot of the footwork is quite similar. So there's some pretty good application there. And then not that every basketball player is taller, but many times a basketball player, he or she is going to have longer arms, let's say, and that can certainly help with playing up at the net, having a wider ability so they can't pass you. So there is an awful lot of applications and similarities, I would agree.
Now, when you were playing basketball, it was without the three-point shot. So I want to ask, what did you think about the three-point shot when it first came into the game? Were you a skeptic for it, or were you for it? And also, at the same time, what do you think about how the game has kind of evolved now, where NBA players, even college players and lower, are kind of focusing on that three-point shot more than ever?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's funny you bring that up, because I played in the first game in Minnesota history that had the three-point line. It was the Metro versus Outstate All-Star game that was the spring of my senior year. Very, very wonderful experience, a lot of fun. And that first night was a game up in St. Cloud. They put out the three-point line. That was the first game in Minnesota that ever had the three-point. And so before the game, in fact, both coaches kind of pulled us together and they say, guys, just so you know, first one to throw it in behind the three is going to be in the books forever. And it ended up being a guy from Edina named Craig Kluge. D1 ball player, played up at Montana, really impressive athlete. he hit that three-pointer, and he's in the books.
Well, what's your take on it all now, especially the way the game is transformed to right now, where NBA players are seemingly everything's either a layup or a three-pointer. The long two is pretty much extinct. Are you for something like that? What do you think about the way that the game has changed, even in the last 10 years, from what it was before?
You bet. You know, it's some interesting clips on YouTube sometimes. If anyone wants to look up, they'll call it like the hardest NBA fouls from the 80s. And you look at what they got by with back then versus what they do now, the game has certainly evolved and is a lot less physical. And I think as such, that three-point line, you know, that's going to probably continue. You know, I enjoy watching a lot of the post-up and the positioning down low. And so I think as the game gets more spread out, it certainly loses a lot of that. But I do believe it's here to stay. And there's a lot of thought almost that if one of your centers can't be a good three-point shooter, they're going to have some real limited attraction in the market if they can't also hit the three.
And I got to ask, how many more points do you think you would have been able to score for Albert Lee if you had a three-point shot available to you at the time you left with the record?
It certainly would have been quite a bit more, but I'm also confident Ben Woodside would have broke the record probably in ninth grade. And there's also a lot of other good players. Jeff Schultz that broke my record, he would have had a lot more too. So, yeah, absolutely. It would have been a bit different. But, hey, you know, that was at least neat to play in that first game that had it.
Now, in just doing a little bit of research before talking to you, I saw that when you were inducted into the Albert Lee Hall of Fame, you still had the record for overall field goal percentage and free throw percentage for an Albert Lee Tiger. Do you know if those records still stand?
Yeah, I have to say I'm really not sure. I don't know one way or another, but I do know that certainly most of the records were eclipsed by a long shot from players better than me, but I probably still have those two.
Now, when people were ending up beating your records, were you someone who was keeping an eye on things like that? Because whenever it goes down, you always see the guy who had the record before say, hey, congrats, good job, record well-earned. But I always suspect that players always have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and want their records to stand a little bit. How were you taking that when a guy like Ben Woodside or somebody else came in and ended up topping you?
You know, and I that's an absolute fair question, and I understand what you're saying. At least from my standpoint, I would say that when I had set the record back in 87, the previous record holder was a real idol of mine growing up named Bill Dress. Wonderful guy, great family, and a heck of a player. And we always looked up to Bill so much and his brother Jeff, because when we were kids at playing at the park, for instance, Bill and Jeff Dress would pull over in their car, get out, shoot baskets with you, and really be, you know, friends and mentors, and that's how you build a program. And, you know, who was one of the first people to reach out after I had done that was the Dress family, congratulating me. And I never forgot that. And so when Jeff Schultz broke the record I had set, I was thrilled for him. He was actually a fellow that my dad had coached in youth basketball, class act, hard worker, and you know, it's an old saying, records are made to be broken, but they are. It's good for the program.
What's your favorite memory from your high school career with the Tigers?
You know, I would say my favorite memory was Rochester Mayo was a real big rival of ours back then, and we were really ended up tied for the Big Nine championship that year. They had beat us pretty handily in Mayo that first night, that first time we played them. And when we had them back here at home, we were getting trounced pretty big in the first quarter. And we ended up getting it together. We ended up beating them in a close game, and it ended up that was how we tied for the Big Nine title. And so I would say of all of them, that would have to probably be my most memorable game and my most favorite game. And it was a true team effort.
And which accolade means the most to you? You were an All-American honorable mention with the USA Today. You played in that All-Star game, as we mentioned, two-time All-Big Nine. Later on, being an Albert Lee Hall of Famer as well, I'm sure holds a special spot in your heart too. But out of all of it, what meant the most to you, I guess, back then? And what did it mean to you to be selected into the Albert Lee Hall of Fame later on?
Well, Sure. You know, I would say my most meaningful one was being named team captain. These were dear friends of mine. We worked hard together. We had high goals. We pushed. And so, you know, to be named captain of that team, that meant more than those other items that you just mentioned, actually. As I get older, you know, it's funny. Sometimes the things that we laugh about the most now and that we cherish the most now were things we complained about the most back then, an early morning practice, or if we had to run some wind sprints because we did something wrong in practice. Back then, when it's fresh and raw, you're like, oh, man, I can't believe Coach did that. But then as you get older and you realize a coach's job is not to be your best friend. A coach's job is to push you and is to make you better. And as we get older, that's often some of those things are what we laugh about now. So that's part of the beauty of sports, certainly. You know, as far as the Hall of Fame, I'm a volunteer on that committee, and I think it's just a wonderful Albert Lea tradition. I know there's a lot of people that were involved. The names that come to my mind who were extremely instrumental were Dave Christensen, Craig Luttke, Keith Fliege, who have worked hard over the years. And, you know, the real goal of that program is to be a fundraiser and ultimately donate so you can help try to defray the cost for kids to participate in sports. And I think that's a really noble goal because I don't think any student, boy or girl, should not be able to be in a sport because of the cost. And so, you know, that's something I have continued to participate in. And we have a banquet actually set for this summer that, with everything going on, we're not sure exactly how it's going to unfold, but rest assured, we remain committed to this event, and we'll make sure that we see it through.
We've been asking the people that we talked to kind of share some of the wisdom from their playing days here, Mike. So I want to ask, for someone who's maybe just getting into the Albert Lea basketball program, someone just coming up, what would you say as far as advice to them to make sure that they're making the most out of the opportunity?
You know, I would say that, number one, we all have to play with the hand that we're dealt. There's always going to be someone taller, faster, stronger, whatever that it might be. So you have to play with the hand that you're dealt and make best use of the skills that you do have. And it's amazing to me that sports is such an opportunity to learn at a very young age that, hey, the real world isn't always fair and isn't always easy. And sometimes getting knocked down, sometimes not making a team, while it's painful at the time, it really sets the stage for success in the future. And that's my favorite thing about sports that I would say, is that if someone simply can learn that doing your best every time, all the time, things will work out in the end.
One more before we let you go, Mike. Mike Peterson, Albert Lea Hall of Famer for basketball, joining us here on KATE Radio. With everybody having to be cooped up inside for a little while, I'm trying to get opinions on what people should be watching, reading, things like that. So what's your favorite sports movie, book, anything like that that people can waste some time on while they're sitting at home?
Sure. So I would say, you know, depending upon if someone has access to some of the on-demand, I've always thought that Hoosiers, the old basketball movie, a classic with Gene Hackman, love that one. There's also some really good documentaries out there, a couple of them, about the Larry Bird and Magic Johnson rivalries. And I think what's so neat about them is also as they've gotten older, and as we look at them, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you realize that while at the time everyone talked about how different they are, in reality, I think what they're really doing is celebrating how similar they are. They were so much more alike than anyone ever knew. They were winners. They were encouragers. They were teammates and unbelievable competitors. And so any of the material out there on Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, I think, is entertaining, and it's also an interesting history lesson on how they saved the NBA.
Oh, well, I'm an Indiana native, so you're scoring big points with me with Hoosiers and Larry Bird, man. Mike Peterson joining us here on KATE Radio to talk about his time with Albert Lea basketball and share some of the wisdom as well for those going forward. Mike, we thank you again for taking a couple of minutes out of your day to chat with us. hopefully we'll get the chance to talk to you again at some point in the future too. But again, hopefully we'll get back to sports at some point too as well. Mike Peterson joining us on Kate. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.